Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 19. Title of our message today is When God Judges. When God Judges. Psalm 7:11, God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Then in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, we read, but Abraham said, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. May we say this, the rich man was not in hell because he was rich, nor was Lazarus in a place of comfort because he had been poor. Our future destination is due to our relationship with God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Do you have a head knowledge of the Lord, or do you have a heart knowledge of Jesus? Edgar Thomas of Gainesville, Georgia writes, there are many judgments in the Bible. The judgment of society, the judgment of saints, the judgment of sinners. As we will read the story of Jesus and the rich young ruler, not to be confused with the man that was also called a rich man and Lazarus, but as we read this story, our Lord judged quickly and rightly so that this young man was in love with his money and possessions. A note before we go any further, we are never condemned for having possessions. It is our attitude toward them, and if we put them first before our Lord and Savior. If you would, and are able, the book of Matthew, let us stand together, and we'll begin reading at verse 16. Matthew 19, beginning at verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he, being Jesus, said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Isn't it interesting that he realized there was still something lacking? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come this morning and looking into your thoughts found in the Word of God, we ask, Lord, that our lives would be good and truthful and faithful. May we be found righteous. And Lord, may we be found serving you when you call us home. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And we'll begin reading again from verse 23 of Matthew chapter 19, verse 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily say I unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Lord, if the rich can't get into heaven, to whom you have given great blessings, how can anybody get into heaven? They had a misconception that wealth meant the blessings of God. But may I say this, if you've taken a trip to a third world country and gone to a church in a third world country where they sing songs of praise and honor and they have virtually nothing, you understand it's not riches that show that you are faithful. It's the fact that you are faithful in the service of the Lord. In verse 21, it says, if thou wilt be perfect or full development, you have grown into maturity, you have become godly. It's not sinless perfection. We find that we will be sinners as long as we live here on the earth, but we can live godly lives to the best of our ability. When God judges, I have a number of thoughts. Number one, unwillingly, take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, if you would, chapter 3. It's a verse you should highlight in your scripture, in your Bibles. 2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll read verse 9. And it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Do you like the fact he's long-suffering? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not willing that any should die and spend eternity in hell. His desire is that all will come to repentance. Thankfully, God is slow to anger. But when he does move, it is swift. One is written, when God strikes, there is no use to call a doctor, to pray, or to beg. Because when God brings judgment, be assured it's going to be painful. Number two, unique. There is no remedy. The Word of God is full of the judgments of God. The flood was the judgment upon man and woman because of their thoughtful lives had become evil. When we think of Sodom and Gomorrah, judgment was brought down because of sinful behavior. When Pharaoh in Egypt suffered the judgments against each of the gods of Egypt. When Korah went up against Moses and God opened the earth so that Korah and those who followed him were swallowed up. When we think of Gehazi who lied and immediately received the leprosy that had just been taken away from Naaman. And how about Jonah? We think of Jonah who was told to go and go to Nineveh and to cry against it. And he said, no, I won't go. God sent a storm. Then he sent a great fish, and judgment came. Warnings come in different ways. They may come in the sermons that are preached. Noah, preacher of righteousness, preached for 120 years. They could be death or accidents. Number three, the unexpected. In an hour that you think not. Belshazzar never dreamed the night he planned his party would be the night he died. We think of the rich farmer who never dreamed the night he got his barns full that he would die. Ananias and Sapphira never dreamed that the day they went to church would be the day that they would not only die but have their funeral when the judgment of the Lord comes. Number four, it's unspeakable. In the New Testament, we find the thoughts of the farmer who was rich. We find the thoughts of the rich young ruler who we have just read. And we've also talked about Lazarus and the rich man. So there were three different rich men that are mentioned in the New Testament. And the rich man that was there with Lazarus, was he who we read of earlier. And it says, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes being in torments. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. The judgments of God. Oh yes, we like to think of our Lord as a loving God, and I am glad that he is a loving God. But he is also a holy God. A God that hates sin. Though he has provided a way of salvation, if one does not accept that way of salvation, they will suffer the judgment of God. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Romans 2:5-6, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. As I mentioned at the funeral the other day, and you that have been with me at a funeral service that I have spoken know that I often say that one out of one dies. Given enough time, all of us are going to pass away. And the question is, are we prepared to meet our Maker? Have we prepared ourselves? Hebrews 10:31 says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. If we are not prepared, then the judgments will come upon us. I read this the other day. It is impossible for the human tongue to tell the pains of hell, for this is the second death, dying yet never dead. And how sad that is. Number five, unchanging. God will judge every unrepentant sinner. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to the book of Acts. Chapter 12, Acts chapter 12. God may use disease as he did to Herod. And we'll read that here in Acts chapter 12, and we'll begin reading at verse 21. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. That does not sound very pleasant to me. But he did not give God the glory. And how many in our society today give no glory to God? They believe that God has blessed America with wealth, but I tell you that God has blessed America with gospel preaching churches. That's what's important, is that people know that Jesus Christ came to die for our sins. And yet how many people today believe that if they have a fine retirement plan, or if they have nice vehicles or a beautiful house, that that's what it's all about? May I quickly say, it may be nice to have nice vehicles, and it'd be nice to have a nice house and nice provisions for your retirement, but do you have Jesus Christ as your Savior? That is what is important. God may use misfortune as he did with Absalom. You may remember that Absalom was the son of King David. And he decided that he wanted to be king. And he began a rebellion against his father. And it says here in 2 Samuel 18, and Absalom meant the servants of David or the army of David. And Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak. And his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between heaven and the earth. And the mule that was under him went away. Now get the picture. Here is Absalom dangling from this oak tree. And a certain man saw it and told Joab, who took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. Point number 6. And because we're having the Lord's Supper, we're moving along a little bit quicker than normal. But number 6, unescapable. Unescapable. You will be judged. In Acts chapter 10, verse 42, Peter speaking said, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. He will be the judge. John chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken, and the same shall judge him in the last day. Again, I ask the question, have you prepared your heart to stand before the judge? Do you know the Lord is your Savior? 1 Peter 1:17a, the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work. May I quickly say that our works do not save us. We do works because we are saved. But if we have never been saved and we are doing good things, they are to no avail. Revelation chapter 20, if you would, please. Revelation chapter 20. As you turn there, let me read to you Acts chapter 17, verse 31, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. He will judge the world righteously. In the book of Revelation chapter 20, beginning at verse 11, John writes, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whom face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Make sure that you understand that there are books and there is a book. And you want your name in the book, not in the books. Do you find that interesting that there's only one book for those who are righteous, that know the Lord as Savior? And there are books for those who do not. And notice verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. In Revelation 22, 12, it says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work, or as his work shall be. So there is the judging of the lost, and there is the judging of the saved. For you that know Christ as your Savior, what you have done for Christ will be judged. Have you done it for the right reason? Have you done it so that God will receive the honor and glory? Have you done it so men and women will know Christ as their Savior? 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if at first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? in a moment, we'll be having an invitation time, and following the invitation, we'll be having the Lord's Supper. And you're invited to take the Lord's Supper with us if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, and you've been baptized by immersion, and you're a member of a church like ours. But we are told to do this in remembrance of what He has done for us. And what did He do for us? He died on the cross that we might be saved. Question is, have you accepted Christ as your Savior? We think from the book of Romans chapter 6 verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." If we die in our sins, we will spend eternity in hell. But if we are covered by the blood because of the death of Christ, the Bible tells us, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." That unspeakable gift. How many of you felt sorry for Brother Wutke as he was having to read those names there in the Old Testament? Brother Wutke, you did a fine job. Is your name written down? How many of you like your name? How many of you don't like your name? A couple of us. Okay. But what's the important thing? Not that you like your name, but your name is written down in the book of life. Have you accepted the Lord as your Savior? On Tuesday, as we had the funeral for Mark Day, 59 years old, I'm glad to be able to say that when we talked to him a few days before he died, he readily admitted that he was at peace with God, that he had accepted Christ as his Savior. It's so much easier to preach a sermon of someone who is saved. Because I guarantee you, when you preach the sermon of someone that's lost and you think, oh, they could be in hellfire right now, that is a very difficult thing to do. It's very hard. But the judgment comes. Are you prepared? Shall we stand together? We'll sing a song of invitation. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, we'd be glad to have someone share that with you even today. 382 is our invitation song, softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. He is called. Have you listened? Have you come to Him? Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, we ask, Lord, now You would bless it. May the Spirit move. May hearts be touched. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.